Begin the current daf, Masechtas Chulin daf Ayin. Begin on the second line down with the top of the Yamut, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf, and that is where we had a machlekes between Rav Huna and Rabbah regarding how do we qualify the Kedushas Bechor. That is, as we've been explaining, that the sanctity of the Bechor, of the firstborn, only happens when it is born. But before that, it doesn't have the sanctity in the fetus, or even until a majority comes out of the mother, it doesn't have Kedushas Bechor. Now, on that there was the machlekes regarding, now, when it's finally born, when do we define the moment of sanctity of Kedushas Bechor? Is it like Rav Huna says, that then retroactively it comes out that when it first started coming out, it was part of that first majority that made it Kedushas Bechor? Or is it like Rabbi said, that it's only Mikanel Abba? After that it's born, then that moment, that's when the sanctity happens, but it's not retroactive. And the relevancy is regarding, as they disagree regarding two different cases, one is after a third, if then the Jew sells it to a non-Jew. If you say it's retroactive, then he wasn't able to sell it to the non-Jew. But if you say it's only from here on, when a third of it came out, it wasn't the majority yet, he was able to sell it to a non-Jew, thus precluding it from Kedushas Bechor. So too, if a third of it came out through Caesarean, and then the remaining two-thirds came through a regular vaginal birth, that's also going to make the difference that if you say you go regarding the first third, like Rav Huna, then it's not sanctified because it's only sanctified through the womb, through the prizder when it comes to a regular birth. However, if you say according to Rabbah, then the remaining two-thirds will still sanctify it when it comes to the natural birth. Now, and that's why Gemara continues and asks on Rav Huna Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah said, Hamavakeres Hamakasha Leilid, an animal that's giving birth for the first time, that's in the throes of childbirth. So the halacha is that the Mishnah mechatach aver aver mashlich leklavim. What you could do is when the animal, the new baby, starts sticking its limbs out, you could cut off limb by limb and throw it to the dogs because it's not sanctified yet until the majority of the animal comes out. So you could cut off pieces and give it to the animals. Now says the Gemara, my love mechatach umanich. Isn't that even talking about that you could cut off limb by limb and leave them until actually the majority of the animal, that Bechor, that first one has come out, is all there together. So although it's all out there and all the pieces are in front of us, still the Mishnah is telling us you can throw it to the dogs. Now that's what the Gemara's question is. If you say, like Rabbah, that the Kedushas Bechor is Mikan Olabos from here on, which is before the majority of the animal came out, there's no sanctification whatsoever. So it comes out to those pieces of the limbs that were cut off before the majority came out. So there's no sanctification that takes effect in it whatsoever. But on that, so the Gemara's question is on Rav Huna, but ve'i amrit l'mafreyuhu kadosh. But if you say that the sanctification takes effect retroactive, and now you have the majority of the animal, albeit cut up pieces, in front of us, so it comes out, retroactively it's revealed, now that the majority came out, that initially, when it started coming out, it was sanctified. So then, how could you go ahead and throw it to the dogs? You cover me by lay. That's required being buried because it has sanctity, which you can't give to the dogs because it is here the majority and now retroactive. It means to say when it had came out originally that it did have the sanctity. So how could you give it to the dogs? Says Gemara Light, no. Hachmai Skinan, what are we talking about in the case of the Mishnah? Is b'machatech u'mashlich. Every piece that he cuts off from the limbs, he goes and throws it to the dogs. So therefore now, that it's not here when the majority of it's coming out now. So what should the sanctity take effect when the majority comes out? The prohibition is not over here because each piece as he threw it away, then it was still chulin. It only works retroactive, but it has to have something to take effect on. But in Rav Huna's halacha on the previous staff, when the animal had came out a third, and then he sold it to a non-Jew, and then came out another third, the whole animal is here in front of us. That's where you could say Rav Huna's halacha that retroactively it's verified that it took effect retroactive, and therefore that nullifies the sale that he gave to the non-Jew because it wasn't his to sell. It was a Bechor, had Kedushas Bechor. Now, on this answer, the Gemara asks, what? Ava machatech umanich mai? But what are you saying? If the Mishnah was saying that you're qualifying the Mishnah that it was every piece was cut off and thrown to the dogs. But ava machatech umanich mai? What are you saying? If let's say he cut off and he left the pieces, he cut left, cut left, cut left until the majority of the animal came out, then what would the halacha be? You cover. You're saying that you would have to bury it. So then the question is, are the Tani safer? So instead of the safer, the Mishnah telling us, Yatzar Rubai, but if the majority of the animal came out, which sounds like together intact, there it's saying, oh, that's already too late. The majority of animal came out, so it has the sanctity of Bechor. So then, if let's say you cut it up then, you cover, you have to bury it, v'niftar min Bechor, and then that's exempt from the laws of Bechor, because it already had a Bechor. But then the question is, liflig v'lisnei b'didei, but based on what you're saying, instead of saying a different case, that it, when they came out whole versus when it was cut up in pieces, let it actually differentiate in the case of the Reish itself. And the Mishnah should have said as follows, when did we say this, that it doesn't have Kedushas Bechor, is B'machatech U'mashlech Ever Ever, where every limb as it started coming out, you cut it and you threw it to the dogs limb by limb. But if you cut it and you kept it, then you should have to bury it. Why say a different case? Says the Gemara, this is actually what the Mishnah is saying. The Mishnah was essentially saying, when did we say this, that it doesn't have Kedushas Bechor, you can throw the dogs, it's B'machatech U'mashlech. If every piece you cut off, you threw it right away to the dogs. But if you cut it and you left it, and now that you have a majority of the pieces here, it's like as if the majority came out at one time, but you cover it and you'd have to bury it, because it's like Rav Huna, that the Kedusha is Lamafreya, and therefore yes, the sanctity would take effect now that you have all the pieces, and therefore you would have to bury it. That's exactly what the Mishnah actually means. Now, and that's what he said, but you cover, you'll have to bury it. Now, relating back to the Halacha of the Mishnah again, like this previous Machlekes Rav Huna and Rabbah was, the Gemara says, Bei Rava. Rava had the following question. Halchu be'ivarim acha harayv. Do we go by the limbs after the majority? As the Gemara is going to explain right away, we're talking about that the majority of the fetus came out of the mother together with the minority of a limb. Meaning, we have the majority of the fetus that came out, which that's what qualifies birth, and that's what qualifies the Kedushas Bechor, as we've been saying. Now, in addition, it's because a minority of one of the limbs is what completed it and complemented it to be the majority. And that's what Rava's question is. Do we go by limbs after the majority? Meaning, do we say, okay, that minority of that limb that came out, do we actually qualify based on the majority of that limb which is still inside the womb? And then actually it should be like that, as if that little bit of that limb did not come out, and hence you actually would not have the majority of the fetus having come out. And therefore, if the person wants to, he could actually cut off whatever came out and throw it to the dogs, because there's no problem about what's called matal mum b'kachim, about inflicting a blemish in something that's sanctified, because you actually could inflict a blemish in a firstborn animal before it comes out to the world, meaning if before the head come out or before the majority of the body came out, if you're coming through the legs, that's not a problem. So do we go by limbs after its majority, meaning that minority limb that came out, don't qualify to make it into the majority of it come out, because it goes after, let's say, the rest of that leg or foot that's or a hand that's still inside? Or did we not go by limbs after the majority of that limb? And to the contrary, you'll make it after the majority of the fetus, because you're not going to leave the majority of the fetus and go after the majority of the limb. And since the majority of the fetus with it came out, we'll say that it came out, and we won't say that it goes after the majority of its own limb, which is still inside. Now, on that, as the Gemara, hey, chedami. What's this case of Holcha Beivam Acha Raiv that Rav is asking? Elam, if you're going to say, as we just explained it, Kegon Sheyatzer Raiv B'Miyat Eiver. The majority of the fetus has come out together with, because in combination of the minority of one of the limbs, and become a Bailein, Rav's question is, Hai Miyat Devrei. This minority of this limb that's on the outside, does it go after the majority of its limb, which is still inside, and then you'll consider that little bit as if it didn't go out? Or do you go after the majority of the fetus, which is on the outside, and therefore you will consider that minority limb as if it's on the outside? If that's his question, says the Gemara, but pshita d'loy shavkina ruba d'uber, it's obvious that we would not leave the majority of the fetus, vaslina basarei v'aver, and go after the majority of the limb. And therefore, of course, that case we would be considered as if it's on the outside, and as if the fetus was already born, and kedushas b'char. Ella rather, says the Gemara, his case of do you go by limbs after the majority is in the following case. Kegon sheyatzer chetzya. We're talking about not where a majority would be together with the combination of that limb. Rather, half of the fetus, b'rayiv aver, meaning the majority of a limb that has come outside, is what would complement that half to be considered half. Now, if you're going to make that minority that's on the inside of that limb be considered after the majority of it which is on the outside, then it would be actually a majority of the fetus on the outside. That's what v'kame b'ayle, that's what Rav is asking. Hahu mi'te b'gavoy, the minority of that limb, which is still on the inside, ma'u l'meshadyi basar rei v'aver, what's the halacha? Does it go after the majority of its limb, which is on the outside? We hear that question is not in conflict with the fetus. Fetus is no majority, it's only half on the outside. It's half together, but the whole entirety is half, because part of it is the majority of a limb. But if you would count the minority of that limb, which is on the inside, it would actually be the majority because then you would see that as if it's on the outside. Do you say that the mead goes after the raiv in this case? So says the Gemara, Tashema. It's being a raiv from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Yatzer Rubai, if the majority of the fetus has emerged, how is it you cover? So he said that if this is if it was cut up, so then it's something that you can't use as a regular Bukhar, so you have to bury it. But again, it's something that since the majority came out, it already has the sanctity of Bukhar, and you have to bury it. Says the Gemara, my Rubai, what is the case of the Mishnah Tumah when it says the majority has emerged? Ilema Rubai Mamish, if you think to say that it's talking about the majority literally, that we're talking about as the regular case would indicate, not like we said before, when it was cut up, but rather that it came out intact in its majority, because although the Gemara previously had answered for Rav Huna, no, that actually it was cut up limb by limb, and then it was left there altogether, which is like coming out intact. That says Rashi, that was just a contrived answer and response for Rav Huna, because of the difficulty on him. But the simple understanding of the Mishnah is, as it seems to say, Yatzer Rubai, that if the majority of it came out, so okay, the majority emerged, and therefore that's like as if it was already born. So then it has the sanctity, and then you would have to bury it. That asked the Gemara, if that's the case that's coming to tell us, Ad hashto le'ashmin under Rubik Ukuli, you think up until this Mishnah in Masech Tzchum, we never knew the halachic concept of that the majority is like the entirety? We know that concept. Why would we need the Mishnah to teach that halacha specifically here in the context of Bechair? Elav, rather, isn't it talking about Kugan Shiyotze Chetziyai? Actually, only half of it came out, Bereiv Aver, with the majority of a limb, and even though with that majority of the limb it's only half, you see that the Mishnah is calling it Rubai, majority. Why? Because we say that the minority of the limb that's still on the inside goes after the majority of the limb that's on the outside, and therefore it's going to be considered the majority of the fetus. So you see the answer to this question from our Mishnah, that the minority that's in the inside, we do see it based on the majority, which is already the outside, and we consider it as if it's on the outside, to make the whole fetus as if the majority was already emerged, and then it's born. Says Gemara, Allah, no. Truthfully, I could tell you that we don't go after the majority of the limb, and we're not going to say the minority of the limb that's on the inside as if it's on the outside. And our Mishnah is talking about Kigain Shiyatsu Rubai. No, it's really literally talking about that the majority of the fetus has emerged. But then the question is, what do we need the halacha for the Mishnah for? We already know everywhere in Shas, Rubik Kukulai. No, it's talking about, for example, that it was the majority came out, Bemir Aver, with the minority of one of the limbs, that's what supplements it to be the majority of the fetus, and we needed to say that it's going to be considered the majority. Because the Mishnah is coming to tell us, that limb that came out in its minority, we don't leave the majority of the fetus, of the animal, vaslina basar aver, and go after the minority of the limb on the outside, should not go after the majority of that limb that's on the inside to say that, oh, so therefore we don't consider it yet as if there's a majority for it to be considered born. No, rather go after the majority of the fetus since it came out with it. Which Mefarshim explains, the Gemara had said previously that's Peshitta, but that's what the Gemara is assuming right now, that that would be the Chiddush, that previous case that we thought maybe that's what Rava was asking about, that's what the Mishnah could be coming to tell us. And maybe there wouldn't be a Raya for this question that's being posed over here, the way we're describing it, as if there's a Raya from our Mishnah, and therefore the Gemara is not conclusive in answering that question of Rava. Another question, Bayi Rava, which some have the gear so that it's Rava, but if it's Rava, it's another continuation of these questions on this topic of Kedushas Bechair, Kerachai. If let's say they wrap the fetus, Besiv, that which is the palm bast, this is like similarly what's by the vines of grapes, that it grows and it wraps itself around the palm tree. So it's some type of a bast, like some type of like a bark of a tree. And they wrap the fetus in that. Now, what's the halacha that when they're removing the fetus from the womb, if that should be considered a chatzitza interposition, and we're going to say that since it didn't touch the womb, so it's not sanctified, because Peterechem. It's the womb that sanctifies it as it emerges, and that's what the Torah makes a contingent on. And since it was wrapped in this palm bast, so therefore it doesn't get sanctified as a bechair, which later on the Gemara is going to explain, when was it wrapped? But that's what the Gemara, that's what Rabbi's question is. Additionally, but Talisi Mahu, let's say he wrapped it in his cloak. In his cloak, now is that a chatzitza? And therefore, although it's coming through the area of the womb, but it's not going in there because it's wrapped in something else as a chatzitza or not? Now, and if you're going to say that Siv and Talis, that these things are chatzitza because they're different types of things, what's called Mincha Libemina, it's a different species, so that would be interposition and it's not considered emerging from the birth canal. But B'shal Yasuma, what would the halacha be with the amniotic sac that it's born in? So the Gemara is B'shal Yasai, Orchihu, I mean, that's a normal thing. Every baby comes in this sac, which of course that's going to be the case of Peter Echem. Ella rather says the Gemara b'shulya acheres ma. What's the halacha if it's actually they use the amniotic sac of a different fetus and then they use wrap this fetus in that amniotic sac? Would that be considered a chatzitza or not? Another question is kerachasai. If let's say a woman wraps the fetus in her hands, v'chazasai, she grabs hold of the fetus v'itziyasai, and then she pulls out the fetus from the womb, and then her hands are separating between the fetus and the birth canal. Now, what's the halacha? Do we say that since that's a normal way of birthing an animal, that's not considered chatzitza? Or would we say that no, ultimately her hands are getting in the way, and it won't have kedushas bachar? Now that is the Gemara, well, hechidami. What's the case of all these cases that we were talking about, that you're having something else in the way? If the animal came out, as many times that the head was coming out first, and after the head came out, then they did one of these things and wrapped it in something else, well then patarte. Then the head already has been paiter, the rechem, has already brought and opened up the womb, and therefore it's sanctified right away, because as we've said in the previous stuff, when the head comes out, it's already considered born. So Ella rather says the Gemara did nafik derech makor leisa. We're talking about where it's coming the legs first, and before the majority of the animal comes out, which only then is it considered born, they already wrapped it and asked the question, would that be considered chatzitza or not? Another question is balasoi chulda. If a weasel swallows up the fetus when it's inside the womb, vaitziyasoi mahu, and then it takes it out in the weasel's mouth, so what would the halacha be over there? So the Gemara says, so if it took it out in the weasel's mouth, hafiksa. So then they took it out when it was swallowed up, and then the fetus never touched the womb, and that's the same thing as the question we asked before of karchasa, if it's wrapped up in something else. What would be the added element in this case? Eli rather says the Gemara, we're talking about balosa. Yeah, the weasel, this type of a creature, swallowed up the fetus, it took it out, then vichdisasa vikiyasi. Then the weasel went, put it back in and spit it out back into the womb, the Yatsim Elov, and then it came out by itself. Now, what would the halacha be over there? Would we say that it becomes sanctified by the second time that it comes out by itself, or not? Which, of course, this has practical medical applications, where today that they do these surgeries on even the fetus, and then they put it back in. What would you say? Here, it took it out with a not in the area of the rechem, and then when it was put back in. Now it comes through regular vaginal birth. What would you say over there? Another question is, hidvik shnei rechamim. If let's say they attached two wombs, the yatsim izav and nechnas lezeh, and then it actually went out of this one and it went into the other one. Now, what would the halacha be? Would we say that it would be paiter, the rechem of the other animal, by being the firstborn coming out, or not? As the Gemara explains, the day potter, does the firstborn animal only exempt and open up its own mother's womb to be considered the bechayer? But the lav didei loy potter, but if it's not its own mother, that's not going to be the peter echem. Maybe even if it's not its own, it would open it up to be considered kedushas bechayer. So as you want to take a let us stand, all these questions are unresolved. Another question, by Rav Acha, he says, niftuchu kaisli besarecha mahu. If the walls of the womb, the area where the birthing canal, if they open up, meaning they widen up, where that is when the animal is going to come out, it's not going to touch, which generally it is a very narrow area, and the animal's obviously touching the walls. If it's wide enough that it doesn't touch the walls, what's the halacha? As the Gemara explains the question, avirecha makadesh va'ika, is it the airspace of the womb that sanctifies and that it's in the airspace? Or maybe it's the touching of the walls of the canal that sanctifies and that it's not having because it was expanded and it's not touching it. Another question, Bay Mabar Avashi says, Nekru Kaisli Besa Rechama, what's the halacha if the walls of the womb were uprooted? Which the Gemara assumes right now means to say that before it even came through, the walls of the canal were uprooted, were ripped up, and they fell out. So the Gemara asks, Nekruf, the walls of the Rechem are ripped out, so halesnu, so they're not here. What's going to sanctify the Bechayer? There's no airspace, there's no touching, there's no Rechem, there's no womb over here. It's not going to be Peter Rechem. So the rather says the Gemara, no, we're talking about Nekru, where it was ripped up, but then the walls of the womb, when they're actually inside the animal, and they got stuck on the neck of the firstborn animal. My, what's the halacha? As the Gemara explains. Do we say b'mkayim and mekachi, that the walls of the canal only sanctify in their place? Shalei b'mkayim and mekachi, but not in their place, they don't sanctify, so therefore it's not going to sanctify it? Adima, shalei b'mkayim and mekachi, or maybe we say even not in its place. Ultimately, it's the rechem that the animal is coming through, because it's stuck around the neck of the animal, and if it would sanctify it as the b'chayr, as the one that's paid to the rechem. Gemara continues with another question. B'yimenei Reb Yirmim Reb Zeira. It says, Nigmamu koisle beis harecha mahu. There's two interpretations. Either means to say that the thickness of the walls on the inside of the rechem all around were thinned out, that they were taken away. Or it actually means that the more inner part of the canal was taken away, and only the outer part is maintained. And that's what his question is, that do we say that the outer part is enough to sanctify it, even though there's no inner part? So on that Omalei, so on that Reb Zeira said to him, oh, kanogas bevoyedi boilan. You have now touched upon a question that we have already asked once before. And from there, from our question, what actually is going to answer your question? Why? Because the Reb Zeira, who the question was asked from, Reb Zeira had asked the following question. Vamrilan, some say it was that Boyim Reb Zeira Mirabasi. Reb Zeira had asked this question of Rabasi. Oymin meruba ala parts. Which generally halachas that are said in the context of boundaries of walls, but in this context, what it means to say is, if we're talking about walls of the rechem, of the womb. Now, if there's more parts of the walls that are still there, that are more than the breached areas of the walls. Now, on that, the question is v'yotze derech paretz. But let's say when the fetus left the canal, it went through the breached part. Do we say that since the majority of it is walled, therefore it's like as if it's all walled, like we say generally rubikukulay? Or do we say that no, ultimately the fetus left in the area that was breached that didn't have the walls of the rechem over there, and therefore won't have kedushas b'chayr? And so to the other way, let's say parts of ruba la'imid. Let's say the walls of the rechem actually were more breached than closed, but the yatzah derech la'imid. But it just happened to be that where the b'chayr left was in the closed part. It did leave where there was walls of the rechem still there. My, what would the halacha be over there? Would we say that even though generally when you have parts meruba, like we consider there's no walls, but it went in the walled part and if it would be kaddish? But one thing, and my, that was the question he says. But one thing said Reb Zeir to him, adkan lo yibayile, or li, as some have the girsa. Up until now, the whole question only was, ela parts meruba lo'imid, when you have more breached than closed. The ikka imid ba'ilim, but at least you have some area that's closed off and it passed through that area. That was only where we had the question. Of enigmamu lekim ba'ilim. But when there was this, that it was totally missing, that in the entirety of the womb, whether like the first interpretation that it was totally thinned out all throughout the cervix area, or the inner part was totally missing, that we never had the question, that of course not going to have kedushas b'chayr. Our whole question was that if you have, just some parts are missing, that was where we had the question, and therefore it's obvious the question that you're asking, that it would not have kedushas b'chayr. The Gemara continues, Tamid Beis, with the Gemara continues in a related vein to the previous Mishnah regarding the fetus inside the womb of its mother. It says the Mishnah, Behema shemeis uber b'teich me'echo, an animal that its fetus died inside the womb. So the shepherd went and stuck his hand inside the womb of the mother animal. The Nogaba, and he touched the dead fetus inside the animal. Says the Tanakama, whether we're talking about a non-kosher animal or kosher animal, tar, the shepherd is still pure. As we will explain both these halachas in the Gemara. But Rabbi Yosef Gliliam says no, but Tameya Tame, if it's a non-kosher animal, then he's touching this dead fetus inside, he becomes Tame. Ubitara Tar, but in a kosher animal, which the words could be misleading, sounds like the same word, Tahira Tar, many times we say that, Tahira means the kosher animal, Tar, then the shepherd that touched that dead kosher fetus inside, he's going to be Tar. Now the Gemara says, my time in the Tanakama. What's the reason in Tanakama that he says in all situations, the dead fetus inside the womb is going to be tar? So Amrav Chizdi says kal v'chomer. Now, what are we saying kal v'chomer? Rashi explains that even according to Rabbi Akiva, that he says on Ein Bezim and Aleph, that what's called tuma b'lua, when you have an absorbed tuma that's absorbed in something, for example, like a fetus in the womb of a woman, that still it could have the halacha of tuma. Here he agrees that no, this fetus that's absorbed in the mother will actually not become tummy, And it's based on the Kal Vachomer. Why? As follows. Im ha'ila, if it helps for the fetus, the walls of imai, of its mother, latir b'achila, to permit it to be eaten, meaning when the mother is slaughtered, even if the fetus is dead, the halacha is, as we've said in previous Mishnah, that then permits the fetus to be eaten, it's considered part of the mother. So loy toyalai, so you think it's not going to help for the fetus when the mother is alive, latahire midei nevela, to purify it from the tumma of nevela? Meaning, even the bigger chiddush of permitting it to be eaten, even when the fetus is dead, the slaughtering of the mother permits the fetus, so for sure, to exempt it from the laws of tumas nevela through its mother, which is not tumas nevela, it's still alive, for sure that fetus is not going to have tumas nevela, and that's why we're saying that the fetus is not going to be metami, the shepherd who's touching it, albeit that it's dead, but it's considered part of the mother, inside the mother, like we find by the laws of shechita, suitable with the laws of tumah and tara. Now that has to give more ashkechan behemetayra. Okay, but that only tells us this Kal Vachomer for a kosher animal, where that's where you have the Kal Vachomer, that the slaughtering of the mother is what permits the fetus to be eaten. Because by non-kosher animals, there's no slaughtering permitting anything. But behemetamei menalan, how do you know this halacha of the Tanna Kamma, that the fetus inside that's dead, even by a non-kosher animal, will also not be metamei the shepherd? So I'm a crow, because the pasuk says in the Yikra, v'chiyamis min behema. If they will die from an animal, so since there's a redundancy in this pasuk, as the Gemara is going to show us, so zu behemet tamei, this refers to a non-kosher animal. Now, because it says, ashahilachem la'ochlo, which is for you for eating. What's that coming to say? Zu behemet taira. That's obviously a reference to the kosher animal, and hence the first terminology is telling us regarding the non-kosher animal. And that's what the pasuk continues over there, where if someone touches the dead animal, he's going to be tummy until the evening. That's the tumma known as tumma of nevela. But one thing that we see from this pasuk is iskish. We see that there's a comparison of the nevela of behemet temeya, of the non-kosher animal, the behemet taira, to the kosher animal, which is telling us that whatever is not considered a nevela, a dead animal carcass by a kosher animal, is not going to be considered nevela by a non-kosher animal, which is ma behemet taira ubertar, just like by, as we just proved this before from the Kal Vachomer, by a kosher animal, the dead fetus inside is going to be purified, it does not have the tumah of nevela. That's where we know the source of behemet tameya ubertar. So by the non-kosher animal, the fetus, even though that is dead, will also be tar from the tumah of nevela. That's how we know it from a hekesh, from the laws of the behemet taira, which we know from a Kal Vachomer. And that asked the Gemara, and so Rabbi Yitzchak Glili, that he does differentiate my tameya, what's his reason? So Rabbi Yitzchak says, because I'm a kra. There's a pasuk in Bayikra that says, v'chol hoylich al kapov, whatever goes on its paws, which is that meaning because it's a non-kosher animal, does not have split hooves. B'chol ha-chay ha-hayleches, the geimer, in every animal that goes, etc., the pasuk says, on all fours, they're tummy for you, whatever touches the dead animal will be tummy until the evening. Now, the inference of Rabbi Yitzchak is from the word bichal hachaya, which tells us, as we had a similar drasha on the previous daf, behema bibehema, mehalchi kapayim bichaya. We're talking about those animals that go on their paws that are inside a living animal, which is the dead fetus in its mother's womb. That's what the pasuk is saying, temesilach, that I have said that that's tamer for you because of nevela, because like the end of the pasuk says, and the gaben of lasam yitma, whoever touches their dead animal carcass will become tamer. That's what the pasuk is saying. Whatever goes al kapav, and usually b'chal achayim, and say in every type of animal that goes on all fours, that's not kosher, that's, the nevela is going to be tamer you, but that Rabbi Yitzchak's interpreting it, be means literally in. Whatever goes on its paws, whatever the non-kosher animal is inside another animal, that fetus, that's dead, that's a nevela, that the pasuk says, hanageben evlasim yitma, you see that it does transmit them. Now, but based on this interpretation of Rabbi Yitzchak, to explain the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak Lili, the Gemara is elamiyat, but if that's the case, then kolot, then when you have a dead, uncloven, mean that there doesn't have, does not have split hooves, of an animal, b'mei para, in the womb of a cow. So let's say a baby cow, a fetus is inside, but it does not have split hooves. Litame, if someone touches that dead fetus, it should transmit tumah to mahalchi kapayim b'chayahu, because you have something that goes on kapayim, on paws, meaning it does not have split hooves, what kapayim refers to, that's in a living animal. And that should transmit tumah. Says the Gemara, no, mahalchi kapayim b'mahalchi arba. What we need, as the Pasuk's talking about, is something that goes on its paws in something that goes on 4 feet. Because the Pasuk's saying, whatever hoylech al kapov goes on paws, bichol hachaya ha-hoylechas al arba, that's in an animal that goes on 4, meaning that its mother, that it's in that womb, only has 4 feet, like a non-kosher animal that does not have split hooves, so each foot is considered like 1 foot. But v'hai mahalchei arba mahalchei shmeinahu, but an uncloven cow inside a regular cow, so although that the fetus, let's say, that could be considered mahalchei kapayim, but it's not in a chaya that's hoylech al arba, it's rather like an animal goes on 8 feet, although it's not really 8, but each foot is like 2 because it's split hooves. So that's why it wouldn't qualify for the pasuk to say that that fetus would transmit them. But then the Gemara adds, paru b'mei gamal, but a cow that's in the womb of a camel, meaning if you have a non-kosher animal like a camel, that its fetus is like the same type of species as a kosher animal, which means to say, if let's say it has split hooves, loy tetame, that fetus should not transmit tuma in its mother's womb, because that's not mahalach al kapayim, it's not going on paws, because the mahalach is shmeina, it's an animal, the fetus is an animal that goes on 8 feet, because it has split hooves, but mahalchi arbahu, that's in an animal that goes on 4 feet. Now, but Rabbi Yasi didn't differentiate. He said any animal that's a fetus in a non-kosher animal is tame. So this case should go ahead and transmit tumah, but that doesn't qualify for the drasha of Rabbi Yitzchok, because it's not holchei kapayim. It's something that goes on 8 feet, this fetus. So the Gemara, that's not difficult, because the pasuk, instead of saying hoylech, says v'chol hoylech. And that's an inclusionary terminology. L'rab is par b'mei gamal. That comes to include even like a cow that's a fetus in the womb of a camel, that although it's really the mother's a camel, but sometimes the fetus could have a different shape or like almost like a different species. Here, even though it has split hooves, we'll include it, even though it's not literally holchei kapayim, that's where the extra word kol comes to include, because ultimately its mother is a non-kosher animal. But that the Gemara asks, okay, but kolot b'mei koluta. What if, let's say you have a non-cloven animal inside the womb of a non-cloven animal, but the mother is also a kosher animal, just that mother was born like that, and so too the fetus is like that, that although it's a kosher animal, it's like a cow, but they don't have split hooves, and the mother does not have split hooves. Litame, that fetus should transmit tuma in the mother's womb, the mahalchi arba b'mahalchi arbahu, because it's something that goes on 4, because it doesn't have split hooves, in something else that only goes on 4, because the mother also doesn't have split hooves. Yet the Mishnah didn't differentiate. It said that the fetus inside a kosher animal is going to be kosher. But that doesn't fit well in Rabbi Yitzchak's interpretation, because according to his interpretation, it actually should transmit tuma, because it does not qualify for the pasuk, because that's exactly what the pasuk says, transmits tuma, because it's hoylech al kapov, b'cholachai hoylech al arba, and that's what it is. But the way Rabbi Yitzchak says it, it should not transmit tuma. So the Gemara, lahochi ahani kavuchem and Rav Chisda. For that, it's definitely relatable to the kavuchem of Rav Chisda. In other words, although Rav Chisda was explaining the opinion of the Tanna Kamma, which is based on the kavuchem, so although we said basically does not agree to the interpretation of the Tanna Kamma, that was only in the comparison of a behemoth tmeya to a behemoth teira. But the kavuchem of Rav Chisda definitely applies to say, well, that if the slaughtering of the mother permits it to be eaten, for sure being in the body of the mother will permit it from the tumas nevela. So that can definitely take effect over here, where here the slaughtering of the mother, although it's kalut, but the mother is a kosher animal, that slaughtering would permit the fetus also to be eaten. So for sure, it's also going to prevent the child from becoming tummy. So although, yeah, it technically would fit into the pasuk of the drasha of Rabbi Yitzchak, but that's why the halacha we said, no, if you find it b'behemah tayra, it's going to be tayra, because that's what the kavuchem Rav Chisda precludes from that drasha of Rabbi Yitzchak, where although everything else would be included, this would be the exception because of that kavuchem Rav Chisda. But the Gemara continues to ask, and says, maskevla Rav Achta v'barami. He says, chazir b'mei chazirta. What are you going to do with a cow, with a swine, in the stomach of swine, loy litame? That fetus, that dead pig fetus, should not be metame. Why? The mahalchei shmeinu b'mahalchei shmeinahu. What's unique about the chazir is that it's the only non-kosher animal that has split hooves. But ultimately, it goes on 8 feet, because 4 times 2, each one is split. And its mother is also mahalchei shmeinahu. Now, Rabbi Yitzchak's whole drush was based on the concept that, whoa, what's mitami? In contrast to the Tanna Kamma holds, everything's tar, and even Rabbi Yitzchak holds that by a tar animal, the dead fetus is tar. A dead hoylich al kapov that's inside an animal goes on four, oh, that's going to be metame. But we have no source for chazir. But Rabbi Yisagli says, whatever you find non-kosher animal, which definitely chazir is non-kosher, the fetus is going to be metame. But you don't see that in the drasha of Rabbi Yisrael, because it's not, it doesn't go on four. It and its mother goes on eight. So Ella Amr Abna Achman B'Yitzchak, Rabbi says, you're right, we need a different source for the halacha of Rabbi Yisagli. This is mahalach, it's from a pasuk in B'Yikra. The girsa of the pasuk is nefesh asher tiga b'chol devar tamei, that any person that touches something that's tamei, oy benivlas chay tameo, or in the dead animal carcass of a non kosher wild animal, oy benivlas bema tameo, or in the dead animal carcass of a non kosher domesticated animal, oy benivlas sheretz tamei, or in the dead carcass of a tamei sheretz, which are the non kosher shrutz and certain types that transmit tuma, whoever touches that becomes tamei. Now, says the Gemara, v'chinivlas behemet tmeya metama. What is this pasuk saying? What do you think? The dead animal carcass of a non-kosher animal that transmits tuma to a person that touches it, ubetaru loy metama. But the dead animal carcass of a kosher animal is not metame. That's not the case. The pasuk tells us that the same halacha applies even to the nevel of a kosher animal. So why is this pasuk specifying the tuma of nevel only by a non-kosher animal? Ella, rather, says of Nachum Yitzchak, what's the pasuk telling us? Ezezeh, what is the one that's a nevela that is a differentiation between the nevela of a non-kosher animal to a kosher animal? Zeh, this refers to the nevela of a uber, of a fetus, which that there are situations that there's going to be a differentiation because once the fetus is born, that you can't explain because like we said, the nevela of even a kosher animal will transmit tumah, as the pasuk says, v'chiyomes min behema ashil lechem, which even that you could eat, once nevela, it is metame. Rather, it's talking about the nevela of a fetus, which is shebetameya tameh, this is the source for basic lily, that by the non-kosher animal, that transmits tumah. But by the kosher animal, then it's going to be tar from the kavul chaymer, like we said before from Rav Chisda. But by the non-kosher animal, it's going to be tummy because there is no kal v'chaymer, because there actually once it dies, it automatically has the tumah nevela, and Rabbi Yisagli does not expound that hekesh that the Tanakhama does, because to the contrary, the pasuk seems to that we just brought from Nachum Yitzchak seems to clearly indicate that no, it's only by a tummy animal that there's tumah nevela, and where would that be? That would be only by the uber, in contrast to the tahira where the uber is going to be tar. Now that has to be more. Okay, so ma'achad and nafkalim and Rav Nachum b'Yitzchak. So once we said that the final interpretation is from the pasuk that Rav Nachum b'Yitzchak brings us, so then the Rav Yitzchak glumly. So what do we need the exposition of Rav Yitzchak, where he brought a different pasuk, which we fell off because we said, what are you going to do with chazir b'mechazirta? But what do you do with his drasha? Ultimately, he has a drasha in that pasuk. Says the Gemara, he loved Rav Yitzchak. If we didn't have that drasha of Yitzchak, which ultimately gets subsumed in Rav Nachum b'Yitzchak's interpretation, but had we not had his, Havamina, I would have said, Kulei likadir Rebbe Huda Asam, that the pasuk of Nachum Yitzchak actually is not an appropriate drasha, because all of it is coming to teach us the drasha of Rebbe, which the Gemara says on the next daf, that he says in this pasuk, he says, why does he have to mention Chaya and Behema? I would just say Chaya regarding the Tumah Nevela, and what do I need Behema? Because Behema is Bechal Chaya, Chaya is Bechal Behema, as we'll see on the next daf. So since I would say that the whole pasuk is coming to tell you the drasha of Rebbe, so then I would tell you, by a dead fetus, even by a non-kosher animal, we would say like the Tanakhama, that actually it's tar. And you would know it from the Hekesh of the Tanakhama, because you wouldn't know it from this pasuk of Nachum Yitzchak, because you would say it's not extra to teach that drasha. Now, although, seemingly, why would we say that? Rebbe learns out his drasha from the extra words of Behema Tmeya. Rav Nachum by Yitzchak is going on the words Chaya. There are two different elements in the pasuk. Why would that contradict to say that, oh, we would think it's only teaching Rebbe, not Rav Nachum Yitzchak? So that says Rashi, because the Gemara in Shavuos David Tesamanav tells us that whenever you have some halacha that's repeated another time, it could be the whole pasuk's repeated only tells one novel teaching. So therefore, although the other words are seemingly extra, no, we could say it's only teaching that added chiddush of Rabbi's teaching, and it wouldn't tell us anything regarding Rav Nachum Yitzchak. Kamash Malan, now that we have the pasuk of Rabbi Yitzchak that said whatever goes on kapav, on its paws, which that precludes the hekesh, that we shouldn't compare Behemoth Tameya to Behemoth Tahira, because the pasuk is clearly saying that it's something unique about a dead fetus of a non-kosher animal, Bechol Achaya Chalechus, in a non-kosher animal. So therefore, we're going to expound this pasuk of Nachum Yitzchak, that we're going to expound the words of the Nevela of the Chaya Tameya, and we're going to say it's coming to tell us a drasha, and it's coming to teach us the halacha regarding the uber of a non-kosher animal that will transmit Tameya, and it won't just be teaching us the halacha of Rabbi. But had we not had Rabbi Yitzchak, we would have said it's only teaching the halacha of Rabbi. But once we have Rabbi Yitzchak's pasuk, then we could say, okay, you see that there is such a concept. You're just stuck. What do you do? Chazir b'me chazirta. That's what Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak would say. Oh, we see even that from this pasuk that all non-kosher animals, as a dead fetus in its womb, will transmit Tumah, in contrast to the Bei Matira, again, like the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak Lili, not like the opinion of the Tanakhama. The continuing related halacha of what we're talking about regarding the Pesukim as we brought from the Tumah of Nevelas. So, Tanya learned the Braisa, Rabbi Yenison says, Namti Lila Benazai, said to Benazai, Lamanu Nevelas Bei Matira Shematama. We learned that the dead carcass of a kosher animal will transmit Tumah. And with the Nevelas Bei Matira Shematama, we also learned in the Torah that the dead carcass of a non-kosher domesticated animal, that it transmits Tumah. So too, Nevelas Chaya Tumei Shematama, we also learned that the dead carcass of a wild non-kosher animal, that it transmits Tumah. Because we have a pasuk that says, Oy Benivlas Chaya Tumeya, Oy Benivlas Behemet Tumeya, which the pasuk we brought before. Additionally, there's a pasuk that says, V'chiyamis Men Behem Ashi Lechem La'achla, which is a kosher animal, that it's Nevelas Matama. So you have a non-kosher wild animal, you have a reference to a non-kosher domesticated animal, and you have a reference to a domesticated kosher animal. But what I asked him was, Nevelas Chayitahiru Lo Yilaman, we did not learn a source for the carcass of a kosher wild animal that it's metame. And therefore, that's what I asked him, and where do we know that from? So Nam Lisa, but Nazi said to me, from the pasuk that we brought before, called Hoylich Al Kapov, whatever goes on its paws, Bechol ha'chai ha'haylechas, in every wild animal that goes, which that's extra terminology, bechol ha'chaya, which come to include a chaya that wasn't explicitly mentioned, that's nevelas matame, which is even the kosher wild animal, because like the end of the pasuk says over there, hanageb and nevelasim yitma, where whoever touches that dead carcass will become tame. That's the source for the nevela of the chaya tahira, that is nevelas matame. But says Rabbi Yenis in Namtilai, said back to Benazai, but v'chinoimer v'chol chaya, does it say with a vav v'chol chaya and every wild animal? No. V'aloi loy nemer ila b'chol chaya. It says in every wild animal. L'mahalchi kapayim b'chayu hudasa. It's coming to teach a different halacha regarding those who goes on their paws that's in a wild animal. Like we said before, that it's coming to tell us regarding the non-kosher fetus in its mother's womb, that dead fetus will actually transmit tumah in the womb. That's what it's teaching. Not to tell us the halacha of the nevela of a chayi tahira, because it's not vichal chayi, it's bichal chayi. So Nam Li, so Benazir said to me, Umay Yishmol Omer B'davazen, what is Yishmol, referring to the Rabbi Yishmol, what does he say on this question? So says Rabbi Yenis, Nam Tulai said to him, from another pasuk that we brought before, says, V'chiyamis min behema, that if it dies from a domesticated animal, so he said, Zu behema tamei, this refers to a non-kosher animal. Ashi lechem la'achla, which is for you for eating. Zubei matira, this refers to a kosher animal. Now, since the pasuk specified to you the halacha of tumas nevela, as we see from this pasuk, both by a non-kosher animal and a kosher animal, so automatically a kosher wild animal is included. Why? Because lamanu, because we learned elsewhere, as the Gemara will clarify in the next daf, that chaya b'chlal behema, the wild animal is included in the title, in the category of the word behema. So too, behema b'chal chaya. So too, the behema is included in the category of chaya. And therefore, if you need to learn anything of a kosher chaya from a kosher behema, you could learn one from the other. So therefore, chaya tahira b'chal behema, chaya tahira b'chal behema tahira. That when you need to, you could learn out a kosher wild animal from a kosher domesticated animal, which is this halacha that we said before, that we're going to learn out, how do we know the male of Chayat Tahira? We know it from the male of Behema Tahira, which it says explicitly in Tahira. In addition, Chayat Tumeya, B'chal Behema Tumeya. Since we're saying that there, you can learn one from the other, Chayat from Behema, so you, and Behema from Chayat, so you can learn either one, and also if both are Tahar or both are Tumeya, you can learn from the other. So when you need to, you can learn out the laws of the non-kosher wild animal from the non-kosher domesticated animal, which the Gemara on the next daf is going to explain what would be the utility that you would have to learn one from the other. So to continue to have a vayin alf and an alf. Behema Tameya, Bechal Tameya, Bechal Chaya Tameya. You can learn out the laws of a non-kosher domesticated animal from non-kosher wild animal. And also Behema Tayra, Bechal Chaya Tayra, that the laws of the kosher domesticated animal are included in the laws of the kosher non-domesticated animals. And the Gemara will explain each one, what you need to learn from the other one that Rabbi Shmuel was talking about. And says Rabbi Yenison, and it was in these words that Ben Azri responded to me when I told him the source. How do you know the halacha of Nevela of Chaya Tahira, which we know from one of these comparisons that we said, which is from that of the Behema, Nevela Behema Tahira, and then we said you could learn that all these other things from the other one because Chaya and Behema are interchangeable. So Ben Azri said to me, oh, Chaval al Ben Azri, what a loss for the world that such a prodigious student like myself, who mi ben azai, shlei shimish as Rabbi Shmuel, who did not attend to and serve and learn from Rabbi Shmuel, because wow, look at this genius, that how he was able to interpret and find the source from the vela of Chaya Tahira, that it's from this of Behema of Tahira, and all these different extrapolations by comparing one to the other, where I didn't know this because I didn't serve Rabbi Shmuel.